Today's shir is Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Chav Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chav Zayin on the Be'ez, four lines from the bottom. In our previous shir, the Gemara taught us the Machloikis of Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. And the way the Gemara had helped us understand the Machloikis is that if there is a loss at hand by not taking the law into my own hand, then everybody agrees, Ovid Inish Dinil Anafshe, a person has to do what he has to do. The discussion we had was in a case where there is no immediate loss at hand by not taking the law in my own hands. May I or may I not? And the Gemara said, it's a machlokes of Yehuda or of Nachman. Yehuda's opinion is that in those circumstances, Ovid Inish Dinil Anafshe, a person is allowed to, and is not allowed to, go to Beis Din. Rav Nachman says, since I'm being taken advantage of, so then, even though there is the option of going to Beis Din, but since what the person who's doing to me is in wrong, so then the halacha is that Ovid Inish Dinei L'Nafshei. So ask the Gemara, Masrav of Kahana. So Kahana asks, we learn on the Braisa, Ben Bagbag Oimer, at the Karnas L'chotza Chavercha, Litla Shulchosh Le'Brishos, you may not enter someone else's property to take something which belongs to you. Shema Tera Lof Kaganav, because you may appear like a thief. El Shvarash, you know, what you have the right to do is go in openly, Vemloy, and explicitly tell him, Shaliyani Yonaitel, I'm taking back what's mine. So what the Gemara is saying, ostensibly, is that Ovid Inish Dinei L'Nafshei, I'm allowed to take the law in my own hand, but I have to do it in a way that no one should think that I'm doing something wrong. So how do we understand Reb Yehuda's opinion that when there's no loss involved, I may not take the law in my own hands? Omele, to which he responds, Imcha, Imach, is this a legitimate question? Ben Bagbag Yechidahi. The opinion of Ben Bagbag is not the accepted opinion. It's his own opinion. Upli Rabban Alei, and Rabbanan actually disagree with Ben Bagbag. And therefore, I'm not concerned about that question. Rabbi Yani says, my shvar is shinov. What did Ben Bagbag mean? What he comes to tell us is that even Ben Bagbag agrees that you can't just take the law into your hand. What he meant to say was, Shvar Ishina Bedin, that you should take it to the Torah, and the Din Torah bring up your claims, and that will be the way you'll prevail. So, Omel Ihachi, so ask the Gemara, if that's what's meant, Emeloi, why does the Braisa use the word Emeloi, that you tell him, Imrimloi, by the proper wording should be that Bezdin, Imrim, will tell him, return what's not yours. Moreover, Shaliyani Naitel, why does Ben Bagbag use the words that the person is saying to him, I'm taking back what belongs to me? Shaloyu Naitel Bebaile, if the victim is relying on Beis Din, so Shaloyu Naitel, the Beis Din should be saying to the person who stole, let this person take back what belongs to him. From here we see, so Kasha, the terrorist that you just gave, that even Ben Bagbag agrees that under these circumstances, ain't of it inish, person can't take the law into his hands, is obviously not the correct way of understanding. Toshma. So the Gemara attempts to speak from a different Braisa. The Braisa speaks about a case, if one animal climbed on another animal in order to kill it, and the animal which is being attacked came, and pulled out his animal from under the upper animal, and because of that, the upper animal fell and died, Potter. The one that pulled out his animal will not be held responsible. My love, suggests the Gemara, isn't this Bryson referring to a situation that the animal that's attacking is a mu'ud, that he is a mu'ud and he's going to have to pay Nezek Shalim? So in this case, the victim has leka pseida, has nothing to lose, because even if his animal is attacked and is killed, he'll still be able to collect nezek sholem. So if he's able to collect nezek sholem, why would he have a right to take his animal out in a way that the upper animal will die? Isn't that considering taking the law into your hand? Says Maloy, it's talking about a case but tam, where the upper animal is a tam, and if the upper animal is a tam, as we keep on learning in our Masechta, that the halacha is that you only pay chatzi nezek, so the victim knows that he's only going to get chatzi nezek, and that could represent a significant loss. That's why he's allowed to schlep out his animal. So, of course, the Rashba asks, we began our shir by saying that even Rabbi Yehuda, who we just learned, holds ein ovid inish denil nafshei, a person is not allowed to take the law into his hand, still in a case that there's imminent loss and he won't be able to recover in Besdin, even he agrees that I'm allowed to take the law in my hands. So the Rashba asks, why over here is he not allowed to save the animal, even according to Rabbi Yehuda? He should have to go to Besdin. So the best pshat that I saw is that, as the Gemara is going to say, is that he did it in a way that killed the animal that's attacking, and that wasn't necessary. Asked the Yehoshua Eim Sefer, Tavcha La'el Yoyim, if somebody pushed off the upper animal, or mace, and by pushing up the attacking animal, pushing off the attacking animal that died, the animal died, Chayiv. B'tam, my Chayiv. He did the right thing. He had to take the law into his own hand. He should have done it in a way that wouldn't necessarily cause the upper animal to die. By doing it this way, he's going to be held responsible. So the Mordechai, based on this Gemara, says, if two people are are fighting, and the third party comes and pushes off one of the people from the other one, in other words, because he wants to prevent somebody from getting hurt, if the person got hurt, he could be taken to Din Torah, because he always could be taken to Din Torah with the claim that maybe you could have done it in a way that the attacker, that the person that you pulled off, would not have gotten hurt so significantly. And as Al Gemara teaches us, it is always the responsibility to try to do it in the least harmful way. The Rosh in a tshuva writes that if somebody had a barrel and the barrel was shaking, and somebody went and took somebody else's stone in order to straighten out to balance this basket, and now the owner of that stone went and took back his stone, and now that basket breaks because it's not being balanced anymore. The halacha is that the person who took back his stone is going to be held responsible, a very bechiddush, because he should have taken it away, being concerned, yes, I want my stone back. And even though I want my stone back, I have to be thinking about this victim's basket. And since he didn't think about this basket, he will be held responsible. Toshma. If somebody filled up somebody's property with wine, with barrels of wine and barrels of oil, the owner of the property can enter his property to take out what he needs, even if it involves breaking these barrels of wine. He could do whatever he does. And Tosfos explains, because even though in the Gemara, a moment ago, the Gemara said that the person should have tried to get the perpetrator off in a way that he wouldn't get harmed, why did you do it in such a fashion? Says Tosfos, There, I was trying to get the attacking animal off. So I could have done it in a way that the animal will not be hurt, and I could have done it in a way that the animal will be hurt. It wouldn't make a difference which way I did it. So in such a case, the halacha is that I have to do it in a way that the animal should not get hurt. But in this Gemara, obviously, walking in and just taking this person's, starting to rearrange all the barrels of oil and wine that were put in my property without permission, that's not my obligation, and that's why I don't have to do it. But I did see that there's some Rishonim that suggest that he has to, that even in this Gemara that we're learning now, that you have a right, if somebody put objects in your basket, in your property, that are preventing you from using your property, you could do what you have to do, even if it means, as we're learning now, breaking the baskets. The halacha is that you have to give proper warning. And you have to tell this person, I'm going to break your barrels if you don't get them out. Moreover, the Chazon Ish draws a distinction between this case and the previous case. In the previous case, one animal was attacking another animal. So although, of course, certainly one of the themes of Masechta Bava Kamma is that we are held responsible for what our animals do, even though we're held responsible for what our animals do, at the end of the day, it wasn't us that did it, it was the animal that did it. And because it wasn't us that did it, it was the animal that did it, we therefore cannot be, we are held responsible, but the person who sees what's going on has to realize that it wasn't that the owner of this animal that's attacking the other animal didn't send his animal to attack the animal. In our Gemara that we're learning now, somebody went and filled up somebody else's property with his baskets. That cannot be excused. How do you have a right to put your baskets into somebody else's baskets? That's why the halacha is not so sympathetic to this person. Amram Nachman B'Yitzchak. So again, according to Rav Nachman that we started the shiur, that a person is allowed to take the law into his own hand, we could understand why I could break the baskets that are the barrels that are in my property. But according to Yehuda, where there's no imminent danger, the halach is I have to go to Beis Din. So how come over here I don't have to go to Beis Din? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Mishabev Yoitz LeBeis Din. What the Braisa means doesn't mean that I could break it. What it means is that I only have a right to break the baskets that are preventing me from being able to go to Beis Din. Or if I need to prove to Beis Din that this property belongs to me. So the only way I could prove it is by bringing the deed. But the deed is in my house, and I have no way getting to my house because these barrels are preventing me. So that's the only time I have a right to break. But under any other circumstances, the halacha is not. So the Chashuk Echemed uses this Gemara to discuss a common question. And that is, somebody, when the way he discusses the question, is somebody came out of shul, and the shul that he davens in is next to a taxi station. And there are people, from the taxi owners, who are blocking his car from him being able to go wherever he has to go. So he goes into the taxi station to ask them to please move their car so he could be able to get out. And they respond to him that, sorry, we're in the middle of eating lunch or in the middle of eating breakfast, and nobody disturbs us during lunch or breakfast. We'll finish our meal, and then we'll move our cars. So he asked them nicely, and they refused. So what he did was, he walked out, picked up his phone, and called this taxi company, and says, I'm at this and this address, and I need a taxi. Now, of course, as much as they're in the middle of eating lunch, they're not interested in losing a ride. And then one of them comes out, or whatever, and he moves his car, and now this person was able to move his car, and that person is going to go to that address, but of course he won't find anybody. So the question is, will this then this person be held responsible? So he says no. He says that just like our Gemara says, that when I have no options, and when I did what I had to do, I'm not obligated for doing something wrong. So notice he says, if I call a taxi to come to a certain address, and then I change my mind, I have to pay him. Because even though the situation changed, and I don't need the taxi, but this person drove to wherever I am. We could even discuss that he could have maybe had a different passenger at that time. But here, because they weren't being fair, I will not be held responsible. Similar question is that somebody parked his car in a spot, and the question is that somebody's blocking him. And the question is, what do they have to do to move the blocking car? And again, it seems that in this, if you try and you can't identify the driver, there's a car parked there, I don't know who the driver is, and the halacha then is that probably you can move your car. On the other hand, what will be the halacha that if somebody, I have a parking spot, and somebody parked in my parking spot, then it's not so simple. Yes, I lost my parking spot, and I pay for that parking spot. And of course, I don't have to say nobody has a right to park in my parking spot, which is a reserved, paid parking spot that belongs to me. But now that he's parked in that parking spot, then the halacha is that me doing any damage to cause his car to be moved, in such a situation, I already don't have my parking spot, but he's not causing me damage. And we're learning now, Gemara, that you're only allowed to do dinah lanafshei without going to Beis Din in a situation when you have a right to ask for that. Not when you don't have a right to ask for it. When you have the option to go to Beis Din, you have to go to Beis Din. Similarly, the Sefer Mishpatei Torah discusses a very interesting question. He says, there was a traveler from the United States that came to Israel. And it was obvious that he was a foreigner, he's an American. And he takes a taxi. And the taxi driver thinks to himself, this person doesn't know what the way to get from point A to point B. He doesn't know the right price for getting from point A to point B. So he takes advantage of this passenger, and he takes an unacceptable price. And therefore, the passenger did not want to start up with this driver, and he paid. But then he figured, I have to, so to speak, think about what is the right thing, what I want to get back at him. So what he does is, he calls this driver to drive him another time. And the next time the driver drops him off, and he says, oh, I don't have any money. Let me go in to get money. And of course he disappears. And he thinks to himself, I have a right to do this. But of course you don't. Because in this case, even though the driver took advantage of you, you have a right to go to Beis Din. You have a right to do what you have to do, but you have no right to take him. You have no right to take the law in your hand and cause this person a loss. Another interesting question that he discusses is if there's somebody, and this is, of course, a very, very complicated question. There's somebody who's doing something on a regular basis that is inappropriate. And because there's somebody who's doing something on a regular basis that's inappropriate, under the proper circumstances, certainly to prevent people from getting further harmed, they may report this individual to the authorities. Now the question is, this person who's doing something wrong has a heart condition. So now we have a very interesting situation. We're learning in our Gemara that Ovid Inishdin Lenafshe, that under certain circumstances you're allowed to take the law in your own hand. Under certain circumstances, you may not take the law into your own hand and go to Bezdin. But what's going to be the halacha if by going to Bezdin, you're going to cause that this person will suffer? He's a weak person health wise. He has a heart condition and being taken to be incarcerated or whatever. What will be the halacha? So is that included in the iser that a person's not allowed to take the law in their own hands because who knows what it could cause? So Paiskim say, of course you should give the person the proper warning, but if you give him the proper warning and he still ignores what you say, then the halacha is that you have a right to turn him over to the authorities. Tashma. So the Gemara continues. We learned in a Braisa, Menayin La Nirtza. We know that an Eved Ivri works for 6 years. If the Eved Ivri, as we learned very extensively, in Masechta Kedushin, wants to remain with his owner past the 6 years, so they give him, the owner makes a hole in the Eved Ivri's ear, and then he stays there until Yovel. So now, speaks the Gemara, Shekololo Yomav. And the Yovel, the 50 years come, the Yovel comes, and Rabbi Msaraboy Lotzeis, and his owner wants him to leave, as the halacha requires, he refuses. And in order to get him out, what the owner does, v'chavol v'asa b'chabura, he does damage to this eved to the degree that he gets hurt. Shu potter, how do we know that the owner is potter? Tam loim v'leisicha kaifer loshev lards l'sicha kaifer l'shev. You're not allowed to collect money about for the eved ivri who wanted to do what was wrong and stay where he isn't supposed to stay. So ask the Gemara, isn't this a case where he could have taken the Eved Ivri to Bezdin? Why does he have a right to take the law into his own hand? Of course, Tosfos points out that the Gemara chose a case of Yovel and the Eved doesn't want to leave, that's common that the Eved should want to stay even though he's not allowed to stay. But even in other cases there are cases where owner could force an Eved out. In other words, the Mordechai explains what Tosfos means, that if an owner sees that his Eved is behaving inappropriately and he doesn't want him in his home anymore, that then he has a right to chase him out. He sees that his Eved became a ganav, for example, he has a right to throw him out. Answers the Gemara, Hachem Ma'eskinen Bav de Ganva. We're speaking about an Eved who's a ganav, and therefore he can't let him remain there even for a moment. Ask the Gemara, so why was it necessary to speak about a case of Yovel at Hashtal Ganav? Was he not a ganav till now for Hashtal Ganav and he became a ganav now? Zok the Gemara, yes. It was at Inna until now have Emsa the Rabbi Ale. Since it wasn't yet the Yovel, so he was a full-fledged Eved. So since he was a full-fledged Eved, he was worried about his owner. However, Hashta, at this point, Leslay Emsa de Rabbi Ale, he's not scared of his owner anymore because the term is over. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, the Braisa is speaking about it, the way to understand the Braisa is Be'evet Shemosla Shivcha Kananis, that the owner gives his Eved a Shivcha Kananis to live with, which we know an owner may give his Eved a Shivcha Kananis to live with, but he's only allowed to live with her as long as he's an Eved. But so therefore, Ad Idnesu Hetera, until now they were allowed to live together. So since till now they were allowed to live together, so everything great. However, Hashti Surah, now that his term is up, he may no longer live with her. And if he's separating it, and if he stays with her, he's doing an Isser. So now the Gemara is introducing a new concept. And that's the concept that if I'm separating somebody because he's doing something wrong, then the halacha is that if somebody's doing aveira, I have a right to do whatever has to be done to prevent him from doing an Aveira. And in fact, the Trumas Hadeshin, based on this Gemara, says that if I see somebody doing an Aveira, I have a right to take, not wait for Besdin, but I could do whatever I have to do to even hit him to prevent him from doing an Aveira. And the Rosh takes the Trumas Hadeshin one step further. And the Rosh says that the halach is not just in this case, as we're learning about an Eved, but in any situation, if you see somebody doing something wrong, you have a right to do whatever you have to do to prevent them from doing what's wrong. However, says the Yam Shel Shloimeh, that we have to temper this halacha. And that is, we're learning now that if I see somebody doing something wrong, Trumas Hadeshin and Rosh are telling us that we can do whatever we need to do to prevent somebody from doing an Aveira. So of course, there are two very important points. One is, I have to know that I won't get hurt myself by doing it. I have to know that under most circumstances, that something I will accomplish something by what I'm doing. And the Yam Shel Shloimeh adds a factor that I also has to be clear that my intentions are honorable. That my only intention over here is to prevent this person from doing an Aveira. But you have to know that clearly is the situation and not that you're doing it for any other goal. The question also is, so here we're speaking about that I'm doing this to prevent somebody from doing an Aveira. What would be the halacha if the person is not doing a mitzvah? Can I use whatever means in my power to force somebody to do a mitzvah? So the Yam Shel Shloimeh and the Nesivos say that since the halacha is koifin ha-mitzvah sasei, we could force a person to do a mitzvah sasei. Included in the halacha of koifin ha-mitzvah sasei is that I could do whatever, just like Besdin could do whatever they have to do to force somebody to do a mitzvah sasei, so too I may do whatever I need to do to force a person to do a mitzvah sasei. The Tzois disagrees. And the Tzois says that the heter that we're learning in our Gemara, how far I could do what I need to do to prevent the person from doing an Aveira, is only when he's doing an Aveira. But in a case where he's not doing a mitzvah, then the halach is that I may not just be so take the law in my own hand. Moreover, from here it seems that the iser of an Eved remaining with a Shifcha Kananis after Eved remaining with a Shifcha Kananis after his term is up is an iser deraisa. Because if it were an iser derabbanon, then it's not so simple that it could take such a strong hand. Moreover, the Dogel Mervava says that this halacha that I could do whatever I need to do to prevent somebody from doing an Aveira is only by somebody who's doing an Aveira b'shogeg. He doesn't realize he's doing an Aveira. But if somebody does an Aveira b'mezid, so he wants to do what's wrong, I don't have the same right. So the Achroinim ask, from our Gemara, the Gemara doesn't make this distinction. It says that I could do whatever I could do. And the Gemara doesn't differentiate if the person who's doing what's wrong is doing it b'shayig or b'mezit. So I saw that the Achroinim add a new dimension to this point. And that here, we're talking about an owner of the Shifcha Kananis. So since I am the owner of the Shifcha Kananis, and I don't want my Shifcha Kananis to live with an Eved Kanani, whatever Ivri, whom she may no longer live with. That's why the halacha allows me to do whatever I have to do under all circumstances. But if it weren't the case, then it may not be the same. Interesting connection to this question is if we know that the Shulchan Aruch is so strong, the Shulchan Aruch and all the Paiskim are so strong to prevent about speaking by davening and speaking about by Kriyas HaTorah. And the question is, if there's somebody in shul who is violating this, and may somebody else scream and embarrass him publicly. Again, we're learning in our Gemara that we're learning here that there's so many different factors to take into consideration before you do something like this. And therefore, certainly the halacha is that you have to try to speak to him nicely and try to get him to change, to do what's supposed to be done before taking stricter measures and more severe measures. Tashma. So the Gemara tries another raya. If somebody left a barrel in the Shus Rabim, or bo acha v'niskabo, and somebody tripped on that barrel, v'shavra, and he broke the barrel, potter. Then he's potter. What do we see from here? Tama, because he tripped. Tama the niskabo, because he tripped. Hashavra, if he deliberately broke it, he would be held responsible. Now, why? This barrel was left in a place where he couldn't pass the Rishus Rabbim. So the person who put the barrel in a place where I can't pass the Rishus Rabbim, why should I be held responsible when I break it? According to the Man D'Amar that says I'm allowed to take the law in my own hand. Answers the Gemara. Amar Azvim Mishmei D'Rava, who Adin Afil Shavra. The halacha is that even if I broke it, I would not be held responsible. So why did the Braisa choose to speak about the case of a Haida Tani Nisku? Why did the Braisa choose to speak about that I tripped? Says the Gemara, either Kabbalah missed the Sefer. Because the Sefer, if our Mishnah said, Im Huzak, if the person tripped, got hurt, Bal Chavis Chai Ben Niskoi, that the person who owns this barrel will be held responsible for my getting hurt, the Dafka Nisku. But that halacha is only if I tripped on the barrel that he left. Aval Shavar, if I broke the barrel that he left, and in the course of breaking that barrel, I got hurt, Loi, then the owner of the barrel will not be held responsible. Because this is a case, the Azik, who the Azik Anafshi, I caused myself to get hurt. It wasn't, I was participating in causing this damage. That's why Kutani Reisha Nisko. Toshma, the Braisa speaks about the Pasik, but a person, a woman, who embarrasses somebody who's hitting her husband because she's trying to save her husband. And the Pasuk says, the katsoisos kapa. And of course, the shot in the Pasuk is not that we cut off this woman's hand, but what it means is mamon, that she has to pay for embarrassing this person that she grabbed onto him in a most embarrassing manner. My love, by Sheni Yochelat Zalidei Davacher. But ask the Gemara, isn't this price referring to a situation that this woman could not have saved her husband in any other way? And even though she couldn't have saved away him in any other way, she has no right to embarrass somebody else. Says the Gemara, Loi, that's not the case. It's talking about a case, she could have saved her husband other way, and therefore she had no right to do this. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, she has no other way of saving him, then the halacha that she's ptura. She will not be held responsible for embarrassing this man. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, the Pasuk says, Ma'adatani Seifa. The Pasuk says, the Sholcha Yada, that the wife did this, and the wife will be held responsible for embarrassing this person. But the Braisa learns, Pratl Shlich Bezdin, that if Shlich Bezdin does what he has to do, he will not be held responsible. But ask the Gemara, what did the Braisa have to bring in? The Shlich Bezdin, lifting the list of the dog, the Medvar Mamurim, when is the halacha that the woman is going to be held responsible? When she had other options. If she had no other options, Ptura. We could have even said that there are times that the wife won't be held responsible. Answers the Gemara, that's exactly what the Braisa means to say. But medvar amurim, when will the wife be obligated to pay for the boishes? Where she had options. Aval any chayil hatzay day davacher. If she had no other options, nasi yada kishlich bezdin, then she becomes like a shlich bezdin and petura, and she will not be held responsible. Toshma, the Mishnah in Baba Basra, Daf Tzadik Tes Amud Beis teaches us. Somebody had a path. People were accustomed to walking through his path, through his property. not on him, and it bothers him. This path is in a place that is most bothersome to him. So what he did was, Notlo, he took this path away, Vinoslam and Atzad, and he gave them another path and a different spot in his property. Dalok is Mashanosan Noson. What he, the new path is still a path, Vishloy Laigiyo, but he's not entitled to keep, take back the path that everybody used. Says the Gemara, the Amrit, if we say that a person's allowed to take the law in his own hand, and you don't have to go to Bezdin, why can't he do what he has to do? Link it, Purivalesiv. What? Let him take a stick and keep and chase these people away from his property. So, answers the Gemara, Amr Azim Mishmei de Rava, Shemi Yitalam Derech HaKlosin. Chazal were concerned that the new path that I'm going to give him is not such a good path that will be difficult for people to get there. Rav Shashimer, not only is that a concern, but he says that the case here is Nosolam Derech HaKlosin. He didn't give them such a good path. Since he didn't give them such a good path, the halacha is the people could walk there. And obviously, what would be the machloikus of Razvid and Mishasha is if I gave him a good path. If I gave him a good path, so according to Mishasha, the halacha is, I have a right to do so, and nobody, and I could do what I have to do. According to Razvid, because Chazal were concerned that people will do so, even if I'm a good person and I gave them a good path, they could take back their old path. So if Shashi Amr Kaman Atzad, there's never a path that will be considered a good path. Never be path that can be considered derech. Every path is a derech haklosim. Because if I give a new path, it'd be derech kroiva lezeh v'choik lezeh. The path may be a wonderful path, but it's always another consideration of obviously is always location. And this location may be better for some people, but actually could be worse for other people. Ehachi, says the Gemara, Amai Shloi La'igiyo, asked the Gemara, so I had no right to switch the path. So the old path is restored. So why can't I now say, Leimelu Shkula D'tchu, take back the old path, Favalu D'di, and give me back my new path. Answers the Gemara, because there's a new halacha. And that is Mishum Dar Yehuda, Dar Rav Yehuda, Meitzer, Shechzika by Rabbim, a path that people already became used to using, Osl Kalkaloi, I may not take it away from them. So I shouldn't have given them the new path. I should have left the status quo. But once I did this, now I lose out. Tashma. So Gemara tries one more brisa. Balbai Shenech Peah, Balbai's left Peah for Aniyim, in his field, mitzad echad, on one side of the field. And the poor people came and took peyah from the other side of the field. The loch is, zev zeh peyah. That both of them considered peyah, that neim keep both peyahs. But the question is, a person is obviously only obligated to give one portion of peyah. So ask the Gemara, he amrit of a dinil anafshei, a person could take the law in his own hand. Amai zev zepeya. Why do I have to sit by and let this happen? Link it pazir of elasive. Let me sit there and prevent, take a stick and prevent anybody from taking peya. Says the Gemara, Amarava, the kavana of the brisa is not that I don't have the right to chase people away from taking what they're not entitled to. What the price has come to teach us is, Zev Zepeya, Lepatrim and Maisa. What I accomplish is that even though they had no right to take it, but once it had a name of Peyra, a Peyah, the Aloch is that it's Potter for Maisa under all circumstances. Kretanya, as the Brysa teaches us, Hamafka's karma, if somebody is Mafker his vineyard, the Hishkim Abayka Batsrai, and then he gets up in the morning and he does something to show that he's retaining, that he's taking back ownership. He cuts off the grapes. So we know that the halach is that there are matnas aniyim for my grapes. Peret, oil, shicha, and peyah. But once I was mafkarit, even though the halach is teaching us that if I take it back, then the halach of matnas aniyim kicked back in, the halach is that I'm still potter from Meiser. The halacha is that I'm potter from Meiser. So the Sefer Yireim says that who is the person that we're speaking about here? A very big chiddush. We're speaking about an individual who knew what he was doing. In other words, he was mafker his field, and then with the intent that that will be a way that he should be excluded from having to have to give peya, and from giving meiser. And even though this was all a trick, and that's why he's chayiv and all the other matnas aniyim, in peya, in meiser, there's still a special halacha that he will be potter. It seems from the Sefer Yireim that if I truly was mafka my property, because I wanted to give up ownership, and then nobody took it, and I can't sit and watch how nobody takes it, and I retain back ownership, maybe under those circumstances, the halacha would be that I wouldn't have to give any of the matnas in the yam. Says the Mishnah, Nizbir Kadib Rishus Rabim. Somebody's walking with his barrel in Rishus Rabim, and the water that he was carrying, this barrel was full of water, and the water spilled out. V'huchak echad b'mayim, and somebody slipped on that water, or shalaka b'charsis, or if the basket barrel broke and somebody got hurt from one of those shards, chayiv, the owner of this basket will be chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda says, b'miskavin chayiv, b'miskavin chayiv, b'miskavin potter, in Mitzvah we're going to spend time in the Gemara understanding what he means. So, the Meram Ratenberg says that our Mishnah teaches us that if somebody yard is right next to the base of Knesset, and he puts a stone next to that, in that yard, so just like our Gemara says, that if I break a barrel in Rishus, our Mishnah just taught us, that if I break a barrel in Rishus Rabim, I will be held responsible. Here too, if I do something like this, I shall be held responsible for that stone if anybody trips on the stone. Says the Gemara, Amar Yudam Rav, Lo Yishano, this halacha that I'm obligated, a shatifa caliph b'mayim, that this person's clothing got dirty in the water that spilled out. Aval hu atzmai, if the person himself got hurt by falling in that water, potter, then the owner of the barrel will be potter. Why? Karka oilam hezikasai. It wasn't I who did the damage, it was the floor that caused him to get hurt, he's banging himself in the floor, and therefore I will not be held responsible, says the Gemara. The halach is, we've learned this earlier in Amasecht, if somebody leaves over a stone or a package in the Rishus Rabim, is considered like bar, and if somebody trips in them, the person who left them there is responsible. Why? Kulam aikarim ben. And now, says the Gemara, since this is considered a situation of bar, as we've learned, the halacha by bar is shavalei adam v'chamavalei kelim. That a person that falls into a bar, you will not be held responsible if he dies, and if kelim fall into a bar, you will not be held responsible. Nar Gemara adds one very important element. That's Linya Ketola. If somebody falls into a bar and Rachmana Litzlon dies, then the Baal HaBor would not be held responsible. Avalin Yenazakin, if somebody falls into a bar and gets hurt, so then the halach is that the person who made the bar will be responsible. Adam Chayiv, if a person got hurt, Yechayiv, the Kalim Peturim, but you potter by Kalim. And the reason is as follows, that the Torah exempts the Baal HaBor for death of Adam and Kalim. So Kalim, as soon as they break, are dead. They're useless. And you're not chayiv for the death of a Kali. A person who gets hurt, unfortunately, is terrible, but he's not dead. And the exemption of Adam is only when the person dies because of the bar, not when the person gets hurt because of the bar. So says the Gemara. For Rav, why does Rav hold that if somebody slipped in the Rishus Rabim, in the breaks the Kalim, you'll be responsible. Why? It's bar. And if the kelim break because I slip, you should be potter. Answers the Gemara. Hanimili hechad afkarinu. When is it considered a situation of bar? If you were mafker, what was left over in the Rishus HaRabim. So that becomes a bar. And since it becomes a bar, the halach is, as we're learning, that a bar that kills Adam v'kelim, you're not responsible. But our Mishnah is speaking about a case, the life grinu, that he wasn't mafkaret, and therefore it's considered mamonoi, and therefore it's not considered a case of bar, and that's why he will be held responsible. So in other words, we have here a very fundamental machloikis rav and shmuel in understanding our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is speaking that, according to Rav, our Mishnah is speaking about that you're chayiv for kalim that break, because it's you weren't mafker what's yours in Rishus Rabim. And this ge'ayla Adam, you're not chayiv, because there's a new rule. The halach is that because Rav is saying it was the karka, it was the earth that caused the damage, not what I dropped. Shmuel says that you potter niske kalim, because it's a bar, and bar is potter and kalim, but you chayiv on niske adam, because bar, even though is not chayiv when the person dies, but you are chayiv for bar when the person gets hurt. Maser of Eshia. So ask the Gemara, we learn the Braisa that speaks about the pasuk that begins with the pasuk that in the Torah about bar. The Torah says, "V'chiyif tachish bar or chiyich reish bar." V'nafal sham eshara chamor. We learn from there, "Shor v'lo adam chamor v'lo kelim." Mikan amru. From here, Chazal. From here, we learn, "Nafal tar chashor v'kelim." If an animal falls into a bar and it's wearing kelim, v'nishtabru, and the kelim break, chamor v'kelim, or a donkey falls in wearing kelim. The nisgru and those kalim tear, chayav al behema, you'll be chayav for the animal, or pot al kaima. Halamaza daima, and the braisa continues, how does this situation viewed? That you left different objects in the Rishus Rabim and they did damage. Ask the Gemara, ad rabba, it seems, if we learn the simple words of the braisa, that avna sekina masoy are the basic halacha, and we're learning bar from them. It's just the opposite. The Torah speaks about bar, and we learn avna sekina masoi for bar. Ask the Gemara, adi rabba, ma doim milazem ibayle. Says the Gemara, ela ma doim milazem, correct. Once we've learned that there's halacha bar, avna sekina masoi shenich b'shusram v'ziko yechayiv. Lefikach, says the Braisa, and meteach tzlusa b'evin, if somebody left a stone in the Rishus Rabim, and somebody else was walking with a barrel of water, and he tripped on it, and his barrel broke because of it, the person who left the stone in the Rishus Rabim shall be held responsible. So ask the Gemara, Reisha Kashla Rav. The Reisha said that if somebody leaves something in the Rishus Rabim, it's considered like a bar, and therefore he's potter or kalim. And it seems that that's under all circumstances, whether you were mafker what you left there, or whether you were not mafker. Rav says it's only a bar if you were mafker. And the Sefer, the second part of the Braisa, is Kashla Shmuel, because the Braisa says that if somebody trips over the stone, he's chayiv for the person who left the stone will be held responsible. Now, why? Because he presumably was not mafker the stone. But according to Shmuel, even if I wasn't mafker it, it's bar. And if it's bar, there's a din of bar v'loy kelim. Utamech, ask the Gemara, now that we think about it, tishlach gufa, the braisa itself is self-contradictory. Bereisha, the Reisha says that somebody leaves something in Rishus Rabim's potter. And the Sefer says chayiv, says the Gemara, we have to understand this braisa. Rav matarsal tamei, v'shmu matarsal tamei. Rav will explain the braisa according to his opinion, and Shmu will explain it according to his opinion. Rav matarsal tamei. The braisa is teaching us that if somebody leaves something in the Rishus Rabim, he will not be held responsible. When will that be the case for if kelim break? Because then if you were mafgrit, they become a bar. And if you're mafkir, they become a bar. There's a din, a bar v'loy kelim. Avaloy of kirin, if you weren't mafkir them, chayiv, you will be chayiv for the kelim. The fiach, fikach, in the case where you weren't mafkir, the stone that you left in Shusarabim, and how, hitiach tzlusa be'evin, I trip and I break my keli, the person who left the stone will be chayiv. Shmuel matazal tameh, and Shmuel explains the braisa according to his opinion. If I leave an object in Rishus Rabbim, it's like a bar. Rabbi Yehuda, but this halacha that you're not chayiv on kelim in a bar is only the opinion of the Rabbanim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. So the way to understand the braisa, says Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda the mechayiv on this kelim bar, and Shmuel says that whenever you leave something in the Rishus Rabbim, it's considered a situation, a bar. If somebody trips over this stone, he will be chayiv. Amar Beloza, when is this halakha? If somebody tripped on the stone and his basket, barrel of what was he was carrying, brauk, the nishav bevin, and the basket hit the stone. Avon niska bekarka, if somebody tripped, and then after I tripped, my basket of water touched the Evan Potter because it was the earth, the walk, the street that caused the main damage. Command says the Gemara, this is not like Rebbe Lazar. We're going to learn a Gemara in Mitzvah Shem Adaf Nun Gimel where an animal pushed somebody into a bar. And so the question is, who created the damage? Was it the animal or was it the bar? And according to Reb Nosson, both, we're not going to go into the details how much each one has to pay, but both are considered contributing mazikim. So in this case as well, yes, this person tripped on the floor, and therefore the person who left the stone didn't do the damage himself, but he did contribute to the damage. Ikad amri amr belez loy tema niskel be'evin v'nishep be'evin hud mechayiv, only in a case where the person actually the basket that I'm carrying broke in the stone that was left in the Shusarabim, that's when the person who left the stone will be held responsible. Avon niskel bekarka v'nisha be'evin, potter. Alfil niskel bekarka v'nisha be'evin, chayiv, command Reb Nosson. Reb Nosson says that we look at all the contributing mazikim to be held responsible.